Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday out there. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. We got good things lined up for you. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. Got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day that we'll touch on some local events. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. Tell me something good.
Hello and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR. Today, we're delighted to bring you a segment with the topic requested by a listener.
It might have been an April Fool's Day joke, but sadly, Melissa can't take a joke.
Or not sadly, in this case, smoked meat is amazing.
True.
Hey, our listeners have spoken. Smoked meat it is.
All hail smoked meat!
This calls for a poem. Early morning, stroke the smoker. Tain't no job for a slackin' joker. Rub that meat and let it set for tasty grub one won't forget. If you like the cue all smoky, let it cook and all slow and pokey. Friends will come out of the wood asking just a taste if I could. Share the bounty, make folk grin, and stroke the smoke and start again.
Oh, excellent. Did you write that, Melissa?
Very nice. No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Checking. That was a lot of fun.
But thank that you. Was good. I like that. Yeah.
I really appreciate me getting to do that. That was good.
Very, very cool.
That comes from us from DavidMC4 on the SmokingMeatForums.com. You can go ahead and find it right there, SmokingMeatForums.com. He's from the greater San Diego area and shared this delightful poem back in 2011.
Very nice. Now let's get down to business. Hmm. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, smoking, as in food processing, is the exposure of cured meat and fish products to smoke for the purpose of preserving them and increasing their palatability by adding flavor and imparting a rich brown color.
Hmm. However, what James described in his poem is actually called hot smoking.
Because I'm smoking hot.
Oy.
Huh?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
Burning over here. Is anybody else's mouth drooling as soon as we started
already,
talking
I'm
about
telling
this?
You, man.
God, it sounds awesome.
It's so awesome. Let's keep it moving. Yeah. All right. Michigan State University MSU Extension describes hot smoking as the process where meat is slowly cooked and smoked at the same time.
Now, this adds flavor to the meat, but doesn't actually have the same preservative effects as smoking to process the food for storage.
That is correct. That's actually some very specific precautions. There is some very specific precautions you should take in the interest of food safety when hot smoking meat, but we'll get to that later.
First, let's talk about the history of smoking meat. According to Wikipedia, the practice of smoking meat originated in the Paleolithic era.
Whoa, that's like more than 3 million years ago.
Yep.
It's actually considered one of the first food preparation techniques.
That's because smoked meat is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
True, but it was also a food preservation technique. For that, the meat would first have to be cured.
Was it sick? So doctors were the first chefs?
And he's going curing, with it. No.
Curing, curing means to use salt to draw out moisture out of the meat and slow microbe growth that causes the meat to spoil. If you don't have salt, you can also cure meat by dehydration.
Once the moisture is removed, the meat is smoked for further preservative properties. The chemicals present in wood smoke, for example, formaldehyde and certain alcohols, are natural preservatives.
Wait, there's formaldehyde in my smoked meat? I did not okay that. That does not seem like a good thing.
Well, according to the American Cancer Society, formaldehyde occurs naturally in the environment and even inside our bodies. It's found in some fruit and is sometimes found in cosmetics, soaps, shampoos, lotions, sunscreens, and cleaning products.
Obviously, we don't want to be consuming massive amounts of formaldehyde, whatever the source. And there are some people who should skip eating smoked meat altogether, such as pregnant women, young children, people with cardiovascular issues, heart disease, high blood pressure, or hypertension. Also, people who have a history of cancer or at high risk of developing cancer.
And it's also important to choose the right wood for smoking your meat. The best are hardwoods and fruit woods. Using these helps minimize the production of potentially harmful compounds and imparts delicious flavor to your meat. Woods that give a mild flavor include apple, ash, cherry, peach, and pear. Medium flavors include hickory, pecan, and almond, and strong flavored woods include black walnut, chokecherry, and mesquite.
It says here to avoid soft woods like pine, cedar, and spruce. They contain higher levels of resin and produce harsh, bitter smoke along with releasing potentially harmful compounds into your food. That's from Baylor College of Medicine.
The National Library of Medicine says elevated cancer risks exist if you consume large amounts of smoked meat over many years. So, most of us should be all right if we just eat smoked meat in moderation. The golden mean, as it were. Moderation in all things.
I am doomed. No. But it is one of those things to keep in mind. And it is something I don't know that it is that much common knowledge that, like, especially just picking one thing out of this, the pregnant women not eating this. I don't know that I ever heard that before.
No, I had not.
They get it from their doctor, I'm sure.
Sure, I would hope. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
What not to eat. Smoked meat and deli meat. Just avoid them.
All right.
Now, if you want to find more about this information about this subject, there's a very in-depth article on the National Library of Medicine website called Effect of Native American Fish Smoking Methods on Dietary Exposure to Polycyclical Aromatic Hydrocarbons, or PAH, and Possibly Risks to Human Health. And it's very in-depth and technical, but it's interesting. It focuses on smoked salmon using traditional Native American methods. They used different smoking structures and different types of wood, then compared the amount of PAHs measured in the smoked salmon. There are some, and it varies between methods and the wood used, versus commercially smoked salmon, which all had lower levels of PAHs. As Seth said earlier, the risk is higher if you consume large amounts of smoked meat for many years.
You know, Melissa loves us because she didn't give us that paragraph.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was really nice of you. Since most of us, don't need to cure and smoke meat to preserve it ourselves, let's talk about smoking. Is that the same thing as barbecuing?
Hot smoking is a more extreme version of barbecuing, according to souschef.co.uk. Smoking is a form of cooking and preserving food using smoke combined with low indirect heat. That's contained in an enclosed space. The temperatures used are lower than barbecuing, and the food is left to cook longer. It's actually cooked from the smoke.
Now, most grills have the ability to smoke meat, especially ones where you can set the temperature and they regulate themselves. You just need to be able to fully cover the grill with a hood to hold in the smoke.
Quote, since hot smoking is essentially a modified cooking technique, the primary food safety concerns is the safe handling of meat, poultry, and fish. Michigan State University Extension recommends using only food-grade contact surfaces for the utensils and smoker racks.
They go on to say, quote, only completely thawed meat, poultry, and fish should be smoked. If partially cooked meat is to be smoked, the smoking needs to be to take place right after the cooking. Two thermometers need to be used during the smoking process. One thermometer measures the air temperature of the smoker. The other thermometer is used to monitor the food product temperature.
At the end of the smoking process, the meat and poultry should meet the same cooking temperatures as traditional cooking methods. Beef and pork roast must have an internal temperature of 145 degrees Fahrenheit. Poultry needs to have a final temperature of 165, but hot smoked fish must have a final temperature between 150 to 160. This is higher than the traditional cooking temperature of 145.
Since smoking has only a partial food preservation effect, fully cooked products need to be handled just like freshly cooked meat. The final product needs to be served right away or refrigerated.
To cool the meat quickly, large pieces need to be cut into smaller ones. The refrigerated smoked meat product has a refrigeration shelf life of 3 to 4 days. The freezer is the best option for long-term storage of smoked meat, but the freezer shelf life is not as long as that of fresh cooked meat products.
That's kind of the opposite of what I would have thought.
Me too.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
You know, absolutely.
You think that smoked meats are partially preserved, but
And we think of fire as a be-all, kill-all, you know? Like, oh, the fire got rid of it.
Just get it hot enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure it killed off any germs or, you know, what could survive that? So a lot of the... I love being able to talk smoked meats. This has been a lot of fun and getting into some of the process and stuff, but I think it's been very informative because of some of these other things we've heard that I did not know, and I got to imagine some others didn't.
Now, the Michigan State University Extension goes on to talk about hot smoked fish in particular. If you're going to do that, you want to follow strict instructions. There's a type of botulism that can be found in fish that still grows at refrigerator temperatures even after it's been smoked.
Yikes. Be careful, everybody.
Right.
Can we just take a moment and thank all the people before us that had to go through all these things to figure out where, you know, what worked and what didn't? And I mean,
pass that information down. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, science, and to all those whether they realized it or not, scientists, those early ancestors, those people figuring these things out. Like, hey, why is Louis not moving? Oh, okay. I guess we don't do that anymore.
Nobody eat the smoked cod. Just don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, the trial and error back then was a lot more intense, people. Like, that's pretty impressive. Thank you. History.
Oh, boy.
So can we stop talking about the scary stuff and just get into the recipes now? I mean, that's I was trying to get us that way.
Yeah, right. Good idea. Let's talk first about the best cuts of meat to smoke. Heygrillhay.com. What a name.
I love the website.
Heygrillhay.com lists off practically all the beef options. From brisket and tri-tip to chuck roast steak and even meatloaf.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
That's a great name.
That's a name, yeah.
Wait. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Smoked meatloaf? That's a thing? Wait.
Yes. The recipe is your basic meatloaf, but they add 2 tablespoons of Jack Daniel's whiskey and 6 ounces of pepperjack cheese. Oh, boy. Mm. You seal the cheese in between 2 layers of meat mixture and create a sauce using 1/2 cup ketchup, 1/2 cup brown sugar, 1/4 cup Jack Daniel's whiskey, and 2 teaspoons of crushed red pepper flakes. You assemble the loaf on the grill basket so the smoke can penetrate all sides. Pour the sauce over the top and smoke for about 4 hours or until it reaches internal temperature of 165. Oh, my God. I want to do this right now.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
Oh, it sounds delicious.
It sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. Even for me, who really would struggle after eating the
especially
cheese,
the cheese. Yeah.
But otherwise, just a smoked meatloaf, even without the cheese.
I know. I sounds delicious.
Would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
And now pork is another great option for smoking. You can smoke ribs, pulled pork, pork loin, bacon, or my favorite, pork tenderloin.
Mm.
But the recipe I want to share is one I can't eat. Bacon-wrapped armadillo eggs.
Whoa.
Okay, there's a left turn there.
Yeah,
wow.
Armadillo eggs.
Okay.
It's not what you expect.
Oh, okay.
According to HeyGrillHey.com, because that's where I got all these recipes, because they're fun. Armadillo eggs are a Texas barbecue staple. So what it is cream cheese stuffed jalapenos wrapped in pork sausage.
Mm.
Now, this recipe also wraps that little egg in bacon. You preheat your smoker to 250 degrees, and they recommend using a hardwood like hickory, oak, or maple. You place the bacon-wrapped armadillo eggs right on the grill grates and smoke until they reach an internal temperature of 165 degrees. Rest those babies for 5 minutes and dig in.
Those do sound good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Really does.
Man, it's Texas. They know how to do their smoking and barbecue.
You're darn right.
There.
Yeah.
Grilling.
Yeah.
They got it right.
They do.
I don't know. If you go to Texas, if you've never been there before, your first at least dozen meals have to be cooked. Have to be smoked.
Smoked.
Something.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
At a barbecue.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's not forget the chicken.
Mm.
You can smoke a whole chicken or just the wings, drumsticks. Drumsticks. Thighs or chicken breasts. Chicken is actually one of the easiest meats to smoke because it's hard to mess up. Smoked chicken breasts don't take a lot of time and produce juicy, tasty meat.
Mm.
You can brine it first, but that adds another 4 hours to your cooking. But the basic method is to preheat your smoker to 225, season your chicken, and put it directly on the grill grates. It takes approximately 1 hour to reach an internal temp of 160. Pull it off the grill and rest it under tinted foil until it reaches 165. Slice and serve.
Yum. Sounds delicious.
Oh, and enjoy.
Yes. Make sure you do that. And if you don't eat meat, you still have smoking options. You can smoke corn, regular or sweet potatoes, and even side dishes like beans or mac and cheese. Smoked mac and cheese.
Oh, I gotta try that.
Doesn't that sound good?
Oh my God, I gotta try that.
And of
that.
Course, you can find any of these recipes at heygrillhay.com.
It's part of the reason why I included that website so many times.
So, but I mean, still, that sounds like some great recipes. Smoked mac and cheese. That sounds fascinating.
I know we say that this a lot with these segments and everything. I want to try all of these. I have to, literally have to try that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It does. There was also a recipe I found last week when I was doing the other segment of grilled carrots as a replacement for hot dogs. And I think if you add smoked because you marinate them, and it has to do with what you marinate them in that actually makes them taste like hot dogs. But I think if you also then smoked them, they'd be even better.
Wow. Mm. That sounds, you could do a whole show on that. Anyway, sorry.
Is there anything you can't smoke?
I don't think so, man.
I mean, I think we've done it all at this point. We've seen ice cream. You know, we've seen everything.
Well, I think we'll end it here before James goes off on some
some other tangent going on there.
You got smoked ice cream. You got smoked
jalapenos. Joining us today for another segment of The Kitchen's Open. If you'd like to become a sponsor for the segment, contact Pam at our front desk.
The number is 715-424-1300. 424-1300. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out the specifics.
We'll feature your business during this segment and find interesting ways to promote you along with a food item or topic. Just call 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Another great one.
That was good.
That was a lot of fun.
I hope Kevin's happy. That's all I'm saying out there. It's his idea, right?
It's a fantastic job by you. Another great week, Melissa. Nicely done.
I loved hearing from our listeners. Always want to have feedback from you guys.
All right. Keep it coming.
Keep those ideas coming, everybody. We appreciate you. And keep in mind that we're still looking for a segment's producer for our sponsor for that.
Yes.
So keep that up and reach out to us.
Soon to be award-winning show.
Yes. Yes. We will come back with some entertainment news. It's Melissa, Seth, and James right here on The Morning Show. Tell me something. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Time to dive into some entertainment. I was thinking of asking you, Seth, to have the entertainer lined up here so that every time we go into the entertainment segment.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't know if I'm really aging myself with that one or not, but yeah.
It's a good song.
Yeah. It is a classic. It is a classic. And Beyonce might have some modern classics on her new album. It is doing very well.
Cool.
And if you want to take a break from Taylor Swift, Beyonce has a new album out. It has 27 songs on it or something like that.
It's insanely
enormous,
huge. Yeah.
Huge. And it's time for Beyonce to show you how much influence she has. This is something that's quite interesting to me when it comes to the influence of pop stars or music in general or anything like that. If you're curious of how big Beyonce is, you know, how big her star, her status is. Beyonce's new track has a lot of guest stars on this one. Post Malone is on one called Levi's Jeans. And it actually boosted Levi Strauss' stock price.
Oh, my God.
A 20% jump in Levi sales after this song released.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
The CEO of the company said, quote, "We place a lot of emphasis on investment in making sure that Levi brand remains at the center of culture. And I don't think there is any better evidence or proof of point than having someone like Beyonce, who is a cultural shaper, actually name a song after us." He called her a cultural shaper. And I really like that.
That's actually kind of a cool concept. Yeah.
It's pretty apt. Right. It fits pretty good. I've heard most of the album, and I've heard a number of friends and people I respect in the music industry reviewing the album and talking about it. And it's an incredible album. I don't know if what happened in the process. It took them 5 years to make this album. And I don't know if in the process what things happened, what went on, how much life changes. You have this idea and then life happens. Mm-hmm. So you change and change and change. I think it is a lot of country influence to it. And I would not fight somebody if they called it a country album. I also wouldn't fight them if they said it was an experimental album or a music album or what have you.
Whatever, yeah.
You know, we get way caught up in what is this and what is that stuff when none of us own country music or rap music.
Or any music.
It's all of ours. It's all of ours.
Absolutely.
And I'm also not going to go against Dolly Parton. If Dolly Parton calls it a country album, good enough for me. Good enough.
She's a good bellwether. Two real quick takeaways. First of all, what you just saying about how influential someone like a Beyonce, Taylor Swift, all these people. Really amazing. Fascinating, by the way, a little side note. They all seem to be women these days that are the biggest influencers. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Second of all, stock prices is meaningless. The stock market is meaningless. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with reality.
Yeah.
How the economy is or anything like that. It's just based on junk like this.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. It's such a silly thing that we're still doing. that has no science behind it.
It has nothing behind it.
We're supposed to be getting smarter and better as a culture, and yet we continue to do things that are just, yep. I'm sorry, kind of dumb. Like they just are. Like there's got to be a better way than the stock market to be able to decide these things and everything. We talked about this with Taylor Swift. Her tour, this isn't us like just throwing this out there or anything. Like there's proof to this. Taylor Swift's like a movie tour and like this tour not only it saves some venues. Mm-hmm. Like there are like the concert industry in general like was healthier than it has been in years because mm-hmm. of her tour. Like these women and you know other influences like them are game changers. Like they are they are true, which, as he said, cultural shapers. It's quite interesting to me to see that. Like it's one thing like, oh, I saw Taylor Swift or Beyonce wearing this, so now I want to wear it. That's one thing.
Right.
What I mean when you're changing stock prices or you're changing like industries.
Right.
In this next year, you wait. There is going to be a ton of tour movies. You're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they go in waves. They tend to do that. But, oh, man, you're so right. How about that? How about the confluence of the sudden ascendancy of women's sports, college sports?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We saw, and I'm not just talking about basketball right now. Look what happened last fall with volleyball all of a sudden, out of nowhere, getting a big spike in popularity, women's volleyball. And now it's continuing on and going. I mean, it's something really interesting. It's fascinating to watch.
During Playmakers today from 3 to 4, be sure to join us. At about 3:15, we are going to be joined today by John Arias,
I think his name is.
He's a broadcaster for the Wisconsin women's basketball team. Many of you have known him over the years. Mm-hmm. He's been doing this since 2012. One of the things I want to talk about with him is seeing the rise of women's college sports from that position. I'm curious to hear.
It's really cool.
It's going to be a fun interview.
Yeah.
Looking forward to him joining us a little bit later. There's no better way to celebrate today's total solar eclipse than Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
I don't know. Makes sense. I get it. Yeah.
Imagine listening to the closing line, man, right when the eclipse is happening, and everything under the sun is in tune, but the sun is eclipsed by the moon. As it literally is happening, mind blown. To figure out what time to expect the eclipse in your location, head over to NASA.com. Mm-hmm. And if you're using Spotify, you'll want to start the album 41 minutes and 53 seconds before the start of the eclipse. For example, if you're in the Eastern time zone, you'll want to start the album at about 2:32. The eclipse is expected to start at 3:14. If you don't like listening to the entire album, you can just start the last song, Eclipse, 70 seconds before. It is the best song on the album, if you ask me, I think.
That's cool. Now, are we going to start getting now, like, you know, the whole Wizard of Oz, Dark Side of the Moon thing? No, man, they actually did it for an eclipse.
Yeah, I like
they
that.
They timed it out for an eclipse, man.
I have to admit, in high school, I did do the whole Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, syncing up with Wizard of Oz. I like that, though. It's a whole different side movie. And it actually was kind of cool. Like, like the whole thing wasn't cool. There was plenty of moments where it's just like...
It doesn't line up at all.
No,
right, yeah.
No. But when the ka-ching of money happens and everything goes to color, that was kind of cool.
That's kind
of
cool.
There's a couple of moments. The lunatic is on the hill and the scarecrow is dancing right at that moment. There was a couple of cool moments. I don't know if it's worth sitting there for a whole album, though.
No.
Plus, you have to replay the album.
Because it runs out long before the movie's over.
But it was kind of cool. Those little moments were kind of cool. I don't begrudge anybody that wants to try to do this, but it does feel like one of those things where you get done and you're kind of like, huh, all right, I did that. Great. I'm going to go make myself lunch now.
Can't get that time back.
I'm going to go smoke some meat.
Make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy. And if you are if you're looking for something to do after the eclipse and, you know, keep your endorphins up and your happiness, you're good. Well, check out What the Muppet. Check out the podcast, What the Muppet, everybody.
Yeah.
Wherever you get your podcasts, check it out, download it, listen in, and thank you so much for subscribing and checking it out.
Yep.
If you're interested in the YouTube page and checking out the video that goes along with this, you can go to What the Muppet. Just type that into your YouTube search bar, What the Muppet, and subscribe and like.
Well, I can tell you one thing. This week's episode is 100% Seth-free. So take that for what you will.
We had a lot of fun working with you, man. Thank you so much for doing that. But Bria brought up something this weekend, and I have to warn you, Melissa, you're going to be the next one that we want to bring up. It's not fair for us to bring Seth on, not you. You're going to have to do it. You might have to do an episode with us. I'm just warning it.
How much does she know about the Muppets, though? I ask you.
That we were talking about, and not knowing, neither Bria, obviously Bria mm-hmm. wouldn't know, and I wasn't sure either, but I was like, no, that's going to make it even more fun.
Oh, okay.
If Melissa knows nothing about Muppets, I think that would be even more fun than if she was like an expert. We've already had experts on.
We've already had plenty of that
and everything, but we'll see. She's a very busy person, so we don't want to put you on the spot there, Melissa. I wasn't trying to do that. I was just trying to let you in on the conversation because Bria was very excited about the idea. And episode 36 just dropped this morning. Go ahead and check it out. But I don't think so. It's the title of I see what she did there. Yeah. She doesn't tell me half the time. Sometimes she asks me what to label these, and then other times she just does it. But I don't think so is a reference to the Monk theme song.
Oh, wow.
That came up during our podcast. And if you've listened to me on the airwaves here before, you know how I feel about that theme song. We got into it quite a bit on that episode.
Yes.
It was probably our most divisive moment as a father and daughter. I'm not even kidding.
And it's all about a theme show.
Yeah.
It's a theme song.
All about a theme song. I thought our podcast was actually going to end right then and there. Like, there was a moment where
this
I wasn't sure.
Moment.
He just walks out. I'm done. I'm just done.
I thought she was going to walk out. And it's in her house. We're filming.
Yeah, where's she going to go?
Check out What the Muppet, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course on the YouTube, type in your search bar What the Muppet. And thank you so much to everybody who has subscribed and liked the page.
Appreciate you.
We'll get into our schedule and some other great local stuff coming up. We've also got to get into a couple of more things with our solar eclipse, like the 12 solar eclipse movies you can watch.
Okay.
And eclipse songs to listen to that are not Dark Side of the Moon. On Dark Side of the Moon.
Right.
Coming up in the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Let's talk a little music and movies as we get into Solar Eclipse Entertainment. Solar Eclipse movies, Solar Eclipse movies, Solar Eclipse sunglasses.
like 3D glasses.
Yeah. What are we going to do after the eclipse? What are we going to talk about?
Nothing. Well, that was a great eclipse, wasn't it? Yeah.
We're done. Happy Total Solar Eclipse Day. To commemorate the day, Ultimate Classic Rock put together a list of 12 movies that feature solar eclipses. So we're just going to go through this list. No particular order. At number 12, Lady Hawk from 1985. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Lady Hawk.
I'm the only person that loves this movie.
Yes, you are.
I love that movie. Love it. It's also the worst music ever accompanied to it. It's the worst like soundtrack. They had a good idea and it just didn't work. The movie is kind of set in like that Lord of the Rings kind of like era, sort of thing, that
mythical fantasy era.
But the music is all 80s synth pop. Melissa, it's rough, but you got a great young Matthew Broderick.
I was gonna say, is it Matthew Broderick?
Yeah,
in that?
Yeah. Matthew Michelle Pfeiffer. It's one of the more I think interesting love stories of the curse that Rucker Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer's characters have. I love them. I don't care. The Seventh Sign from 1988. Yeah. Pitch Black from 2000. You got a young Vin Diesel in that one.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
I was a sucker for those Pitch Black movies, I'll admit it.
Demi Moore was in The Seventh Sign.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Oh, wow.
The Wild Thornberrys movie from 2002.
Okay.
I never saw it.
No.
I think they actually like see the eclipse, don't they?
You got me on that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't
see that one. Wolf Creek from 2005. Lara Croft, The Tomb Raider from 2001.
You should watch that movie anytime.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie, anytime else I'll watch, but especially if she's in action movies. I love her in action movies.
Good stuff.
She is good.
Yeah. Tomb Raider was one of the greater
better.
Absolutely.
Video
those were
games.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. Really. I
couldn't play them myself because I was not coordinated enough, but I liked watching my brothers play them.
Yeah.
I like playing those.
Those were fun games. Yeah.
If that Lara Croft movie with starring Angelina Jolie comes out today, they got like four or five more of those coming out.
Yeah.
Like the way we have become about sequels and all that, and especially video games that are done well. Like, there's not a lot of video games that are done well anymore.
No.
Or really, period. You know? So that would do huge right now. Avatar, The Way of Water from 2022. Fantasia from 1940. Wow, that's a good one.
Wait. Oh, what part has an eclipse in it? Oh, now I remember. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That still holds up.
I've always loved it since the first time I saw it. Yeah,
agreed. Yeah. Apocalypto from 2006.
Okay.
And then the top three, like Rogue One, A Star Wars Story from 2016. Yeah, that was one of the first ones I thought of.
That's right. Oh, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I got to watch it.
I cannot tell you how many times I've watched that movie. You would not respect me. You would have
no. It's a good movie, dude. I'm with you.
At number two, Little Shop of Horrors from 1986.
Feed me, Seymour.
Oh wow.
I
haven't seen that in so long. I don't even remember that part.
I don't remember that part at all. And
no.
I've watched that movie a bunch, and I don't remember that movie. Or that part. I'm not sure which part. And at number one, I think a pretty obvious one, 2001, A Space Odyssey from 1968.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you've seen that movie,
that makes sense.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things that you would remember. Now, how about the music? What about the music?
All right.
Let's take a look at that. Again, Ultimate Classic Rock put this list together, if you're curious. Again, if you were curious, the total solar eclipse, another one isn't going to happen until 2044. So part of the reason why I think a lot of people are excited and they want a soundtrack like Black Star from David Bowie to be playing. Or
ooh, that's a good one.
You're So Vain from Carly Simon. Like a total eclipse. Like, doesn't she say eclipse in that song?
She
or something? I'm trying to remember, though.
Yeah. I have the lyrics. Anyway.
I'm stuck. I got Black Star stuck in my head.
Yeah.
That song is one of those songs
for
me.
That's a great tune.
It's such a good song.
Yeah.
And if you've seen him, like, his last concert, he performed that in Heroes, and you hear him singing that song. And
right.
He's the only one that knows, you know? It's incredible.
Yeah.
Dancing in the Dark from Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
I get that one. I like that song too. Ain't No Sunshine from Bill Withers. Ooh,
ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
I can be in the greatest mood in the world, and that song comes on, and immediately, like almost every heartbreak I've ever had, pops in my head.
Darn you, Bill Withers!
I love that song, but it's almost too good. It's almost too good.
It's a great
one. Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me from Elton John.
That's a good one. Yep.
Of course, Eclipse from Pink Floyd. I don't want to say. Blinded by the Light from After Man's Earth Band. I'm sorry.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were not a fan of that one.
No, I just played it too much.
Classic rock. Oh, yeah.
Growing up hearing my dad play it a bunch and then playing it a bunch myself where they played it on the radio station I worked at every day. Black Hole Sun from Soundgarden. Yes.
Yeah,
of course. Of course.
Got to listen to that at least like once every couple months, I think. Iron Maiden's Total Eclipse. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And at number one, of course, with me. Everybody.
I know what it is.
Yes.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah. Bonnie Tyler.
Hey, that was almost a Meatloaf song.
Yeah.
Well, it was written by Jim Steinfeld. So, yeah. Same guy who wrote all of Meatloaf stuff. Yeah.
Does that song have a...
Jim Steinman, is it
bigger or not if Meatloaf does it? Because I think that because of his other hits, I don't think it's as big of a song as it is if she does it. And I think in part it's because of the way Bonnie sings it. I think that's part of it too.
By the way, this is a perfect day to do it, everyone. You need to watch the video of A Total Eclipse of the Heart because it is the most 80s crazy whack job video you have ever seen in your life. That one and Safety Dance by Men Without Hats.
Those
are the two videos you have to watch today because they are insane.
Safety Dance is absolutely not only one of it's one of the weirder like ones.
So
you know?
Weird. They're both weird.
Yeah.
They're both just weird, man.
Yeah, I really like that one. We do want to send a shout out to the best listeners in radio, all of you out there. A good shout out to our friend Kevin. Melissa, Kevin sent a message to us. Thank you, Melissa. Made me extremely hungry and going to smoke something this coming weekend.
Oh,
good. Awesome. Woo-hoo.
Your plan worked. How about that?
It did.
We'll check in with our partners. We're going to come back, and we got a couple of That Ain't Right stories, including one, are teenagers responsible enough to babysit these days? We're going to get into that and plenty more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the show. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
LA proved too much for
them. We're going to take it to the top of the hour. Got some good stuff coming up for you. That Ain't Right story on the way, but I really wanted to get this one in. I don't mean to force it in, but I really wanted us to talk about this one today. A lot of parents use apps or websites to hire adults now when it comes to kids watching kids. And it's not as common as it used to be. We don't have as much of this as we did when we were all growing up.
Right.
Because they're worried teens aren't responsible enough or might get distracted and watch videos on their phone and a lot of these things. Someone asked over 30,000 adults if they think teenager babysitters are more or less trustworthy than 50 years ago. And only 9% said more. 39% said less trustworthy, 32% said about the same, and 20% said that they're not sure. For a lot of us, babysitting was the first job we ever had, and a lot of us did it, so it's a big change.
Yeah.
56% of adults say that they got paid to babysit at least once as a teen. That includes 70% of women and 42% of men.
Wow. Okay. 70% of women. Wow.
Let's
that impresses you?
Wow. No, no, it's just a large number. I was like, wow, that's fascinating.
I will be very, you know, my kids are in their mid 20s. So I don't deal with this as much or anything. And I will say that I think that there is some obvious, it's understandable. Any parent having any concern just about like period.
Right.
I'm never going to tell a parent how to parent. I'm never going to tell a parent how to worry or anything like that. But this is a borderline That Ain't Right story to me on the end of, did you think we didn't have distractions in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early aughts? Like, what are you talking about
here? That's exactly where I went.
If anything, I would feel a little bit better that kids have phones or have a better way. They can contact me.
Quickly.
So many more ways to get in touch or to track if you want.
And I noticed this with cancel culture. Like, if we cancel somebody, what chance do they have to redeem themselves and learn from their mistakes? And it's not that different with this, where if and there are certain people that deserve to be canceled and never heard from again, obviously. Right. I'm talking about that borderline person, that gray area and everything. And with this, if we have less and less kids doing this, we're going to have less and less kids understanding what responsibilities are, learning from their mistakes, learning parenting things.
Yep.
There are things that I learned from babysitting that I completely applied to parenting, and they worked.
Yeah.
There's so much here that is disheartening to me, the idea of this.
Oh.
And it stems from parents. It stems from adults. Don't go blaming kids for this. Don't go blaming young people for this. Young people are distracted. Shocking! Whoa, when did that start happening? Boy, when we were kids, we were never distracted.
Yeah, we
that
never watched 6 hours of television a day. I mean, come on.
This is generationism. This is just looking at the younger generation and thinking you understand.
I don't know if that's a word, but it should be. I want you to get credit for it because that was really good. No, you're so right, man. I mean, think about when you were babysat as a child, as a young person. The TV was on. I mean, come on. There's always something there.
My babysitter let me put an entire dropper of green food coloring in a glass of milk.
How about that? How
my cool mother was very upset about that. But because my I was green for a very long time after that. So was everything coming out of me. But, you know, she was letting me experiment.
Exactly.
The there's so many things that come from babysitting, and I will note, and I've talked about this a bit in interviews and on the air a bit, so I will note. I feel I have to. The worst moment of my life happened from babysitting, so I am not at all somebody that is going to, you know, I would if anything you would think I'd be looking for excuses to talk bad about this, but even I'm saying this is wrong, and we can't let this happen. If you're worried about a kid babysitting your kid, talk to the kid, like figure out the right everything is a case by case basis.
Right.
And if you're just going to blindly look,
go ahead. Opportunities for teenagers now and young people to take babysitting classes
yep.
at the YMCA at the, there's other
in school, I think, even they have some opportunities, after school programs or
in things Rapids, of that nature. The library, you can get it done.
Yeah. To take a babysitting class to empower young people to feel confident about their ability to watch a child or children.
You bet.
And then for parents to feel empowered that, okay, yes, they are able to do this because they've been taught what to do and what not to do.
Yeah. You can find the complete article at YouGov.com. YouGov.org. YouGov.org. That ain't right story. We're going to touch on, and we're just going to get into this, get in and out. Okay. 42 million people felt that 4.8 earthquake that hit the East Coast on Friday, but no one was more shaken than this guy. 33-year-old Justin Allen, who lives in Hormine, Pennsylvania, just outside Philly. It's about 40 miles from the epicenter in New Jersey. And he happened to be in the middle of a vasectomy when it hit.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh, dear.
He was halfway through the 20-minute surgery when the whole room started to shake. He was not able to cut and run.
Oh. Wow.
I owed that. I stand on
I'm,
that.
I'm like, wow.
This is a that
wow.
right
Can
story.
I end early now? I can't recover from that.
He tweeted about it as soon as they gave him his phone back, and in all caps he wrote, an earthquake happened in the middle of my vasectomy? Maybe
best
one of the
news is he's okay.
Yes, he's okay. Completely fine.
He's good,
okay.
Man.
We would not be doing this story if he wasn't.
Of course not.
I don't like. He's knocked out for this though. I'm imagining the doctors are pretty freaked out too, and the nurses and everything.
Not generally.
Yeah, they're pretty calm.
When I had my vasectomy, I was not under.
Oh,
it was local anesthetic.
Oh,
yeah.
I shouldn't have said that and just assumed. Oh my God, really?
Yeah,
man. Man, that ain't right. Let's take a phone call real quick. We've only got a couple of minutes of show left. Good morning. Got to be quick. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my oldest sister was 14 when she had a babysit for 7 of her siblings. My dad was in the hospital. My mom would have to take the bus from out in the county into the hospital to see her.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
We all lived through that. I mean,
yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
it's a very good point. And a shout out to your sister.
That's something.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Always good to talk to you, sir. Have a great morning. Thank you for the time. That was a really good one.
You often had to watch out for your younger siblings.
Mm-hmm,
I did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing, too, just to touch on that whole baby, it brings up a good point. There are a lot of people that they have to have a babysitter.
They do.
Like, you know, obviously, I can't imagine the stats that we would get back of people that have to have a babysitter because of child care or lack thereof child care.
Hey, we brought it all the way back to child care. I love it. That's because it's an issue. Anyway,
it may be the most
problem.
Important, vital issue we have today.
Yep.
Be informed, be aware, find out how the people you are voting for are voting on child care in this country.
We will keep banging the drum.
Getting our good story of the day, and let's kick off with, of course, our schedule. We got a good one lined up for you today. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 for Playmakers.
Yeah.
It's your live sports talk show. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Give us a call. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that segment.
Mm-hmm.
Be on the lookout for our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday this Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We got some great stuff coming up today. Seth are going to be might be pitch-handing with us, and we're going to be joined by a couple of great guests. As I mentioned earlier, John Arias is going to join us, broadcaster of Wisconsin women's basketball. John's been there since 2012.
Very
it's
cool.
It's going to be really cool to talk to him.
Yeah.
And GM and head coach Paul Peckman going to join us about 3:30 today.
All right.
Just find out what he's doing, talk about the season a little bit for the River Kings and what he is in action doing now.
Very, very good season for the River Kings this year.
Going to be a good one right there. And a little bit later on WIRI today, let me look outside again.
I think we're going to get it in.
I think we're good. Let's play. Pittsville at Nakusa High School Baseball. I think this is our first one of the season.
This will be it. Because barring snow, which is what happened last week. But yeah, no, hopefully we'll get that in today.
Mike and Seth going to be covering the board on that one. It's going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, everybody. And a shout out to all the players, athletes, coaches, families getting these kids to practices. Oh, it's good to have high school sports back.
Yes, it is.
Tomorrow, right here at the Radio Dial at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, it's a ball night. Milwaukee Bucks host the Boston Celtics. Celtics. If you're a Bucks fan, you're a little worried. You're a little nervous. If you're a Boston Celtic fan, you're a little nervous. This is going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
I am very curious to see how that
possible
one plays
preview.
Out.
It's going
to
be a good one. Preview, yeah.
And let's get to some local good stuff. Melissa was talking about this in her news break, that there are solar eclipse viewing opportunity in the and Rapids here today. Mm-hmm. You can check that out. The eclipse will begin at about 12:52 and reach its maximum at 2:05, ending around 3:20. WRPS staff members and students from Lincoln High School will host an eclipse viewing event for interested community members at the Southwick County Rec Center, right next to the school. Several different project methods will be set up to view the eclipse safely, and there will be a limited number of eclipse viewing glasses available as well. Encourage you to check that out, everybody.
Yeah.
We also want to tell you about our United Way. They have a great opportunity going on and this Wednesday for everybody, Seth.
Yep, like they do every year. Protect yourself from identity theft by bringing in your sensitive documents, old tax returns, bank statements, canceled checks, etc., to be securely shredded on-site by ShredSafe. Each individual can shred up to 2 18x10 boxes for free. They kindly ask for a donation of $5 for each box thereafter. This is, like James said, on Wednesday. It's going from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., but please be aware that is until maximum capacity is reached. So get there earlier rather than later is probably
that's
the most important thing.
Goal.
That's right. This is going to be happening at the Prevail Bank parking lot, 1601 Lincoln Street in Rapids. They will be donating $1 for each pound to the United Way with a maximum donation of $2,000. So you're going to help out the United Way too.
That's awesome.
Our Red Cross is looking for blood donations, and it's a critical need, and those that can give, we greatly appreciate. You can find out more at redcrossblood.org, redcrossblood.org. We've got an opportunity coming up here tomorrow from 10 to 3 in Rapids over at the Southwick County YMCA at 601 West Grand Avenue. That's from 10 to 3 tomorrow. Be sure to check that out. And in Stevens Point area, they've got their blood donation center open almost every day, and it's usually open in the morning till afternoon, so you can probably fit your time in on the 11th. Tomorrow 12 to 7, and then on the 11th they'll be open 8:30 to 3:30, and then on the 11th 10 to 4 at the St. Stevens Point Blood Donation Center at 320 1C Main Street. On the 11th from 10 to 4 they'll be at St. Paul's United Methodist Church at 600 Wilshire. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check that out and donate if you can, everybody. Looking at just a couple of big, good, world good stories. A former teacher and counselor in Virginia named Lillian Orich passed away last month at 95 and left her school district $1 million.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
She worked there for 67 years and didn't retire until she was 89.
Oh, my goodness.
That woman gave to her community and her society, in our society, her whole life.
Her whole life.
And then in afterlife.
That's something else.
Yes.
Amazing.
Wow. I got no words. Like,
no.
Thank you. That's all I can think of is thank you to that lady. A dog named Mishka wandered off in San Diego last year and just turned up more than 2,000 miles away in Detroit.
Oh.
Her owners flew her back. Flew there to pick her up. They say that they put up 1,000 flyers with no luck, but never lost hope.
Oh, nice.
Those microchips.
That's a great story.
Those
microchips,
people.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy today. Enjoy the eclipse, everyone. And meet us back here tomorrow. Melissa and I will be tag teaming the show tomorrow. It will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Have a good day to you two. Be good to each other.
You too, man.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.